Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Do this.
So, hi.
Hey, we're back.
We're back. Sorry about last week. I was drowning in toilet paper, having like extremely hungover was the context.
Brooke and lover of her brother, Alex Seeley, and I just debriefed their night at the Tony's party. And
I almost threw up in an Uber.
But you didn't.
A hometown first.
You had the stumbles, but you didn't fall.
I get too drunk and I lose my center of gravity. Yeah. And I give off the impression that I'm drunker than I am. My birthday was good. And then I had a really tough week. You know what? It's funny that I realized, well, I'm coming to realize the past, like, I don't know. I forget when I received these texts. Mm-hmm. But it's almost as if I've been dating someone for almost 5 months now.
Who you've literally never met.
Who I've literally never met.
He really won't give up. Do you guys remember potential catfish?
Maybe Ryan continues to text me.
Just maybe like, Ryan is real.
Just like a, hey. Like, he just like will always.
It's really wild.
And he'll be like, what are you doing right now? And
he told you that he missed your voice last, right?
Well, I like didn't respond until the next morning because I was like, I don't know why I keep engaging, but
because it's fascinating.
It's fascinating. But he was like, oh, I didn't get to talk to you on the phone. And I was like, oh,
why would you have
what?
Done that?
And he's like, oh, well, I miss your voice. And I was like, you haven't talked to me since end of January.
And you guys haven't even met.
Never have we ever met.
You literally just spoke on the phone once.
Like two times. Jesus. And he's like. Continues. He's like, how's auditioning going? Oh, you're teaching.
Wow, you really are dating him.
Yeah, I was like, he's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm busy. And he's like, what? And I was like, I'm preparing for something. And he like texted me the next day to ask me how it went. And I was like, I didn't respond to that. I was just like, there's part of me that's like, at one time when it's like someone's birth, like some event where like I know I'm going to be with a group of people to be like, listen,
you should just be like, I'm going to be meet at me, this you can bar. Come here. And that's it.
For like 3 hours.
Otherwise, stop texting
me. Please leave me alone. I had told him when I got back from Israel, I was like, listen, I am uninterested in dating you. And he left me alone for a little bit.
And then one holiday, he reappeared.
And then he continued. He came back on Passover.
That's right.
It's very funny to me. Because I'm like, it's been many months. Mm-hmm. It gives me the giggles.
Well, it's very funny. I just want to know who he is and what his deal is.
I know. I desperately want to as well.
Do you think he just does this with a bunch of girls and he just has like girlfriends he's never met all over the city?
I hope not.
I mean, what a sad life.
What a sad.
I just am so curious.
That's so unsatisfying.
Maybe it works for him.
He's just
maybe
like,
he's agoraphobic.
Maybe he's agoraphobic.
I don't know. You could go there, though. Creepy. No, don't.
To his house?
Uh-huh.
That sounds like a murder and a half.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not just one
Several
murder.
Several murders,
like
probably.
Like 1.5 murders. Because maybe I would get, like, a slice in.
I was just going to say you'd fight back and you'd almost, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know anything.
Anyway. About murder?
No, I know plenty about murder. Yeah, let me tell you something about murder, Bridget.
Oh, you tell me.
It's hard to clean up.
Depends how you do it. Come on.
Well, clean up emotionally.
That's true. Emotional cleanup on aisle me.
Today we had a railroad. So one of my coworkers at Flywheel, always she comes in from Queens, but she takes the train, like the path or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she always is like, yeah, on the railroad. And I'm like, the railroad? It like real. I'm just like, what are you doing? So today it was a, we had a very frustrating day, but I was like, oh, one ticket to frustration station, all aboard the railroad. And we came up with
frustration station's real good.
Frustration station, validation station,
misfunction junction,
misfunction junction, underappreciation station.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, because that's a good one to station rhymes with a lot of good things. Wow, yeah. That's nice. I like that they're, yeah, all named station, you know, yeah, every stop.
There were like four. There was one more that I can't remember. But yeah, I really like this idea of the like anxiety railroad.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. Pelvic examination station. Things that give me anxiety, add them to the list. I could go on, honestly. A station is just ripe for rhyming.
It's ripe for rhyming.
You settled on something good there.
Thank you so much.
So I don't know if you saw this, but there's an article in New York Mag and in Vulture that is called What Would Sex and the City Look Like in 2018? The show writers plot out 6 episodes. Did you see this?
I saw the headline. I did not read it
yet. Well, I tweeted about it because it's amazing. And then the author of the article retweeted us. And I was like, fuck yes. I'm going to read 2 favorites. Okay, here's a great one. Me 3. Miranda arrives late to brunch because one of her favorite male colleagues was just fired following Me Too, hashtag Me Too accusations. She's conflicted because despite her feminist convictions, she loved this guy and isn't sure the accusations warranted his dismissal. Samantha says that she, too, is being sued by a former assistant for sexual harassment, which she doesn't feel is warranted. Carrie, Charlotte, and Miranda share their hashtag Me Too stories, and Miranda is particularly horrified to recall several experiences she had as a teenager, the same age her son Brady is now.
Wow.
Miranda reconsiders how she's raising her own son. When he tells her he's taking a girl on a date, she insists on a sit down with the two of them, during which she goes embarrassingly overboard and scares them out of their date. Carrie can't help but wonder, how do we go from hashtag me too to no one ever? It's a great article. I want this show. I mean I'm really glad it is what it is, but these are such well translated to, it's like exactly ploppability, you know.
Oh my god, I can't believe I haven't told you about this crazy dinner I had. This is relevant.
I figured.
So Celie and I on Sunday went to Rosie's.
Yum.
And yeah, for tacos. Mm. And this couple next to us were just like bullish.
Yikes. Like, had they come in belligerent or did they get belligerent while you were there?
Well, I saw him like hand her a baggie of cocaine or what
shit.
Looked
so
like
they
he definitely hands her something. She was like stumbling. It was also like 5:30 p.m.
Jeez,
he was
on
like
a Sunday.
Yeah, his eyes were like half masked the whole time. Yikes. He was like kind of creepy. But then we're sitting there and he goes to the bathroom and then there's a man sitting at the two top like behind us and she's like, Come here. Come sit.
To the dude?
Come sit with me. Join me.
Oh.
Like, she talked like this. So she was like, we ordered, like, too much food. And Celie and I had this agreement where we would, like, stop talking to try and listen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And so she invited him to join her at the table and, like, help them finish their margaritas and this enchiladas. And then his partner.
Was he alone?
No, his partner was in the bathroom. And then his husband comes and sits and is kind of like,
what's happening?
And then Celie recognizes the couple, the gay couple from Chicago.
What?
And they're talking, the four of them. And it's like, me and one of them had made eye contact because we were just like, this is crazy. And
one of the guys.
And Celie's like, I'm so sorry. And then they all remembered each other because they had like signed up with Celie at his gym in Chicago.
Oh my God. So then, did he remember that that's what it was, or he just was like, I know them from
yes.
home. That's so weird.
And then we all the four of us start talking and sort of not talking. And then they finally leave because this guy is like not okay. And luckily he lives around the corner. He like can't really form sentences. It was
yikes.
Crazy.
And especially out of context in a restaurant at 5 p.m. on a Sunday.
So we stayed and talked to this gay couple.
Because you were like, fill us in.
But just in, and then, so they're from London.
Oh, fun.
They live in Chicago. Now they live in New York. One of them doesn't love New York. So we bonded.
Wow.
And then something came up about Sex and the City.
Oh my God, of course.
And how like it's a rep, like how in London it is like such a representation of like New York, and how it's sort of wiped all other American cities off like the radar in a way, because it's
interesting.
It has built New York up to be like this thing.
Not just that it's the characterization of New York, but that it also just like made New York loom so large.
So like Chicago feels so small, which, you know, I have my thoughts.
Right.
But
depends who you're asking.
Yeah, depends who you're asking. But it was just like, so we ended up talking about Sex and the City for like, so because he was like, oh, I'm actually just rewatching it. I'm about in season 4.
Do they want to be on?
We exchanged numbers.
Hell yeah. So look out for a guest, guys.
Hopefully I'll reach out again and be like, do you want to be on this podcast?
You can hear the other side of this story.
It was. So yeah. So we ended up talking to them for like 2 hours, 3 hours.
What a surreal like New York moment.
It was such a New York City moment. It was amazing. And I was so excited. It was crazy.
Wow.
It was so, so silly.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Sex and the City is everywhere. There was an amazing, I walked into work on Monday, last Monday, and my boss had left the like full spread from the New York Times about the 20th anniversary on my desk, which I was like, thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad you and everyone in our lives sends us Sex and the City content relentlessly.
We're just like so much a part of the zeitgeist.
So much. Good timing. Good timing.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Brooke.
Hey,
hi, everybody.
I wanted to try it. How'd it go?
She bit each of those words out like she was going to do it. It was so funny to watch. I had no idea what was coming. It was, let's do it. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Bridget.
Hey y'all. Welcome to Splat the Podcast.
With me, Brooke.
And me, Bridget.
Talk about Sex in the City.
10 years younger.
And 20 years later.
You guys are so patient. That's what happens when we take a week off. It's just all gone out of my brain forever.
Forever. It's
no long-term memories in this whole brain. Except for really inconvenient ones about like a time I embarrassed myself in second grade that I'll think about for the rest of my life, you know?
I pooped my pants in the first grade.
Shit.
Literally. Thanks everybody also for sending us Shrek stuff.
Oh, it really makes me happy.
There was Lily Reinhart. Do you follow her?
I was gonna say floats my boat, but then I stopped myself because I could already hear that I was going to mistakenly say floats my goat, and that's why I said
I prefer I said, that let's get floats my goat. Hashtag floats my goat.
Floats my goat.
Get it trending. So Lily, she like posted this Instagram story of a tweet that was, that's seriously your favorite movie? New person. Shrek was really revolutionary for its time. And this person responded to Lily going, holy shit, finally someone gives Shrek the recognition it deserves. Best movies ever. Shrek is the nicest and kind ogre and the best husband, father, and friend. He kind of reminds me of my grandpa. I love it. And Lily just comments, I wasn't expecting such a heartfelt reply, but nevertheless.
I was just nevertheless, like, Shrek persisted.
Nevertheless, Shrek persisted.
There was someone, thank you. There was a tweet the other day someone did that was like, Shrek came out 17 years ago today. Wow, the years really do start coming and don't stop coming. It's like, that's it. That's it. Shrek is going to be how I mark time
did
passing
I tell you
forever.
That when I was in Portland, we were at a brewery and.
That's a Portland phrase, yep. Just end it there. And.
End of episode. Either I'm a Believer or Smash Mouth came. I think I'm a Believer like came on the radio and we were
incredible.
Like, it's everywhere.
Every song you think.
Maybe
you
I should
hear.
Put an acoustic version of I'm a Believer in every single yoga playlist. That's like it's every
a great idea.
Every Shavasana is actually just like a very warped piano version of I'm a Believer and I'm like doing what they do in Zoolander.
Yes, incredible.
And so eventually I'm just
creating, I think you're onto something here.
Creating an army. They shouldn't let me teach yoga.
Shrek
classes.
Yoga? Yeah, they should. Are you kidding me? It's what we need. Bring out your inner ogre. Your inner yogurt.
Sometimes it feels like a swamp in those rooms.
True. Sometimes my back sweat makes me feel. Speaking of, it is.
Oh, it's summer.
Awful outside.
It's all of a sudden.
I do not mind heat.
No, on Friday or Saturday? Saturday.
Yes. When it was when you were in the park and it was perfect.
It was like hot, but it was not humid.
No. And it was just gorgeous. And then it's like, it's the kind of thing where you walk outside and your lungs are suddenly full of liquid.
And in the city, it's like there's definitely.
Yeah,
I
it's
like
garbage humid.
Garbage. Pee.
Garbage humidity. Yeah. Oh my God. Pee humidity.
My AC's
that's
broken,
real.
Which actually hasn't been so bad.
I think I might cave and get one. Mm-hmm. I have a whole like weird fire escape situation, but I'm like, I keep a fan in there anyway. And if I'm going to do that, I want to be able to sleep. I keep waking up even in just a sheet and like full sweat. Yeah. Gross.
I have like, they're just like need to replace parts. I have like a fan. Mm-hmm. There was a dead.
You have that. That fan is crazy.
That fan is crazy. That fan.
Our fans are crazy, man.
Crazy fan. We out here, fan.
There, a fan base.
There was a dead bird on the patio.
I like out of context you just laughing through.
For like days.
Sexy.
And a feather got popped up because I was like, this bird is cooking out there.
Holy shit.
But it's gone today, thank God.
Good. Was it in your little area or
no? No, no, no. It was out there. Because there were a couple times where I was like, maybe I should go outside and read my book. And then I was like, maybe I should like not go near the dead bird.
Dead bird.
I did get I'm trying. I do want to go out there more because I want to be brown.
You are a lucky ducky. It's already happening.
Because I tan, yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a good tan on Saturday.
It was a wild splotchy burn for like 35 minutes and then it was beautiful.
I woke up, it was fine.
Yeah.
How are you, Bridget?
I'm good, I think. I like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm,
say it.
I'm like, things are happening in so many directions all at the same time, but I don't know what they are. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's the perfect storm. It's like, it's good things, but my anxiety is just like constantly through the roof in a completely unidentifiable way where at all times I'm just vibrating at like, that said, it is like good and exciting.
Yeah.
I'm just, I feel like in like 2 months, some stuff will have settled in my life and shifted. And at some point I'm just going to like lay in bed for 48 hours without moving and reset everything. Mm-hmm. Have someone drip water into my mouth occasionally and just like become a toast. Thank
Ari
you.
And I will tag team.
Perfect, perfect. But I'm good, and I do like that it's summer.
Uh huh. Me too. I like outdoor things.
I told Brooke I walked in here and I left the office. Although I was on a subway car, which is air conditioned, but I left the office. I don't know, maybe 45 minutes before, and I still had no feeling in my toes and fingers because it runs in my family that when we get really cold, we lose circulation. And
what a fun trait.
Super fun. Thank you, jeans. But I don't understand why I need to work in an environment that literally makes me lose circulation. Just because it's hot outside doesn't mean it needs to be the Arctic inside. Just make it livable.
Yeah, we're not penguins.
I learned last year. I wish we were. I learned last year that office buildings traditionally climate control based off of a middle-aged man because that's who worked in office buildings for so long, and also they all wear suits, which makes sense. But it's like, damn,
that's life annoying. No mo.
That ain't life no mo.
No mo.
No mo.
Yeah. Well, that's really exciting.
Thank you. Yeah. Sorry to be so weird and vague. Because honestly, I like don't even know what some of it is. Things are just happening. Also, I think I'm going to see Incredibles 2 tomorrow.
So
I find this unbelievable, given that like
I've never been drawn to it.
Extent of our. Okay. But that's why I'm so excited to show it to you, because you will love it. Brooke has never seen The Incredibles, which our whole relationship is like 90% me not having seen movies or musicals. And it's very...
Oh.
I'm so excited to share The Incredibles with Brooke.
Speaking of movie musicals.
Of course. It should be.
T-minus 1 month until Mamma Mia.
I was just going to say Mamma Mia.
Again, our friend from
New Zealand. I just have so many questions.
Our friend from New Zealand is going to be here. And he and I have this weird bond about Mamma Mia. And I don't know how or when it started. But I was like, are you going to be here on this date? And he was like, yeah, I think so. And I was like,
do you want to
put it in your calendar?
Put your calendar on.
Put your calendar in. We're going to Mamma Mia.
That's right. Really, the way that Brooke just like stuck her arms out looked like she was like revving up a motorcycle to take them to Mamma Mia.
Yeah,
I was excited.
I need a cool rider for Mamma Mia 2. That was a Grease 2 reference.
Hey, we're just
love a
nailing them back and forth across the court right now.
A volley.
That's it.
A rally? A volley.
A volley.
Both.
Both. All of it. Should we talk about this show?
Sure. Yeah.
Do you guys care? Do you want to hear about the show?
Actually,
okay, we should talk about
it. We should talk about it.
This is actually a fascinating episode.
This week in therapy, I tweeted about this.
We should have a secondary podcast called This Week in Therapy that we record on Wednesday nights after our collective or cumulative therapy.
I actually don't
hate
that.
Dalton can be on it.
Dalton. But last week I literally cried for pretty much the whole time.
It's a nice release sometimes.
Yeah, we'll talk about my anxiety at the end. And
isn't that fun? You've already gotten a dose of mine. We'll get back.
Yeah, we're spreading it out. I was like talking about something. She goes, "Okay, well, let me just wonder with you." And I was like, "No, why wonder? Why must we wonder? I can't help but wonder."
You've been possessed.
I was like, "Fuck, I'm a Carrie."
This episode, weak joke, is called Sex in the Country.
Get it? They're not in the city.
And the show is called Sex in the City. This is funny.
Funny jokes with Brooke and Bridget. That's the next podcast.
It's just us 45 telling dad
minutes
jokes.
Of dad jokes. You had that funny tweet that was like, "Hey, you've got an amazing dad."
Oh yeah, I said, "Hey, nice dad you got there."
That was very funny.
Social media has made days like that so funny, you know?
Yeah.
I inevitably get to halfway through the day and open an Instagram and I'm like, "Oh, look at these dads."
And everybody's is like, "This dad is the best dad. Nobody dad can be better than my dad. He's the kookiest man."
Shout out to our pod dad.
Dad, I love you so much.
You're the best dad.
You are the best.
You are goofy
dad.
And kooky.
You are funny and strong, and I wouldn't be who I am without you, which is true.
True. All of that, honestly, very true.
I am such a product of you. It hurts. Sometimes my dad actually reminds me a lot of Jerry Gergich from Parks and Rec because this is actually if you play these episodes backwards, it's actually a podcast about Parks and Rec.
I thought you were going to say something about playing it backwards and I couldn't wait to see what it was. But that makes sense to me. I think just accidentally I have consumed so much Parks and Rec in my life that I just accidentally spit out backwards.
My dad
content.
Looks and acts like Gary Gergich. So much so.
I just finished it again and I remembered Terry also.
I actually like get really upset when they're mean to Jerry.
Oh, because it's your dad.
Yeah, that's only ever happened to me. I'm really killing it today. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The only other time that something like that has happened to me was when I saw Capote for the first time.
Oh, God.
Because Alex, especially when Alex was of a heavier size, uh-huh, looked a lot like Philip Seymour Hoffman. Uh-huh. And this Capote is when Philip Seymour Hoffman was so tiny. I watched it and I cried for 45 minutes and I called my brother and I was just like, "I think you're the best actor I've ever met." And he was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" And I was like, "I'm watching Capote." He was like, "What?"
Oh, that wasn't self-evident?
So if the more I love you, the more emphatic and ridiculous my admiration for you becomes. So get in line.
It's a good thing to have your emphatic love.
Sex and the Country. Honey,
for most New Yorkers, Manhattan is the center of the civilized world.
I would say for a lot of Americans.
Privileged few, Manhattan is merely a place to kill time between weekends at their fashionably rustic New York country homes.
TBH, I go to Connecticut often on the weekends.
You do. The house you stay in there does not look like the shack.
No. Aiden is like super excited because he's refurbished this cabin and he's like, "This is it before and this is it after." And Carrie's like,
"There's no real difference."
Oh yeah, cool.
She is very, very not excited. And she is like, "I can appreciate it from here." And he says, "You won't have to. You're coming up with me next week."
And she's like, "Oh, I am, huh?"
And then she fully makes up a lie about having to meet with her editor. And then he's like, "It's okay. I've already thought about that. It's only 40 minutes away. You can take a train."
And he's like sort of walking around like he's got a song in his heart.
Yeah, like a little bit of a swagger in the "pick your bags, little lady. You're coming to the country with me."
He's singing and Miranda breaks the weird dancey Aiden-ness. He's like, "We don't got to talk about it. You're coming to the country."
Which is also like, yeah, it's not a conversation. If I were Carrie, I might instinctively lie and try and get over it too. If someone was like, "Just so you know, you're doing this.
We're going." I mean, I think I would enjoy it.
I'd be very excited about going to the country. And I
or
actually.
Or like going camping.
The more rustic, the better. Yeah. I like my luxury when I have access to it. But like, I'm a woods girl also.
Where are you from? Oh my God. I cried about trees on Saturday.
Brooke did. Brooke pulled a me, honestly. And we, I, So Ari and I were having a conversation across the blanket, and I kept looking over at Brooke. Brooke was doing this thing where she was like smiling so serenely, and the way she kept looking at me and then looking away, I was like, I can't wait to hear what's going to come out of her mouth. Like, I like knew something was just formulating. She was not listening to either of us at all. And then she just opens her mouth and she was like, guys, the trees. And then she almost cried.
I just kept like we were in Prospect Park.
Park's the best.
And I just kept looking around, and like there were so many different kinds of trees, and just they're like
gorgeous.
Because like in the Botanic Garden, they have that like section of just like natural whatever. So it's like very oaky.
Oh, and we were on the other side of it, so we could see it was like foresty.
It was like foresty, and like we were far enough away where you couldn't hear anything. And I was just like, we're so close to like Manhattan and like how terrible Manhattan can be and like claustrophobic, and I was like, and then I was like, wow, think about all the oxygen in the in I this know. Air. I was like very verklempt about it, and I didn't know how to bring it up with that, but I so I just kind of went for it, and
it was perfect.
It was very well received by my two kind friends.
I've had those moments many a time. I believe truly. So Miranda comes up and
Aiden's like, have you talked to Steve lately? And Miranda's like, No, but I have his bills. He needs to like stop adding me as his
emergency contact.
And Aiden's like, oh, you should probably talk to him.
Aiden says he and Jessica broke up, and she says, oh, what? So he wants to talk to me to tell me he's still in love with me and he can't stop thinking about me now that she's out of the picture. And but
Aiden
Butumcha
is like, Steve has testicular cancer.
And
Miranda goes, oh, so I'm a horrible bitch.
She's like, nope, I'm terrible. I'm a terrible bitch.
What were you going to ask me?
I was going to say, just do, like, do we have a personal experience to lend to this storyline?
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys have picked up on this, but my brother had – this isn't funny. My brother has testicular cancer.
Yeah.
And he is in – surveillance for the next 5 years. They got it out. It was stage one, but this is like a very close to home episode.
It is. I mean, when I watched it for the first time, I like jaw drop.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Alex came on to talk about it. What was it? Was it 2 weeks? 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's already mentioned it. And I think that he'll be on soon. But
he can lend much more.
Well, this episode, they don't really. I'm sure. We'll get into it a little bit later, and I can contribute as much as I can.
Yeah, well, it's also interesting because, like, we see it through the lens of Miranda, who's trying to be a supporter, you know, which is what you did too.
Yeah.
So we now know that bombshell.
So the ball has been dropped.
Indeed. The one ball has dropped.
And so speaking of like round things,
mm-hmm.
Charlotte is in bed, like trying to, she's like in bridge pose, like trying to get,
trying to ovulate.
Her blood flowing. She's desperate to get pregnant. They've been trying for like
she's monitoring
months.
her basal temperature. Isn't that, it's basal. This version of it, BASIL read, I think it's basal.
And she's like, don't have sex with me till Saturday. We need to preserve
your juices.
Because
that's when I'm ovulating, and that's why she's monitoring it. And he's like, we can practice now. And she's like, no, practicing makes it worse. And he's like, well, listen, we're going upstate to see mom's flowers
in
on Saturday.
The orchid show.
And she's like, well, I thought maybe we could stay elsewhere. And he says, nope. And she says, then I guess we'll just have to have sex at your mom's place.
And he's like, people have sex in Connecticut. There's a first time for everything.
LOL. Have you ever had sex in Connecticut?
I was thinking about it. No, I've never been to like the house that I go to with like a lover.
Oh, right. Yeah, no.
That's like not what
I guess you would have had to go
for.
On. Yeah, no, you would have had to go.
And
on.
Then I was thinking about if in like in high school because we went to Yale. And then I was thinking about if I've been to Connecticut for other reasons.
That's what all the processes were. Makes sense. Yeah.
But I don't think I have. Sorry, Connecticut.
Sorry, Connecticut. I'm sure many people enjoy having sex in you. So Miranda goes to meet Steve.
And she's asking him a lot of, like, Miranda questions.
Like, you know, have you thought about this? Like, what about your insurance? Have you whatever? The long and short of it is he's kind of playing it down a little bit. And, like, he doesn't really know and hasn't really taken it seriously. But understandably, I mean, I think this is pretty new information.
Yeah, and you can tell Miranda's, like, been on WebMD. And it's like, you've gotten a CAT scan.
Right.
You've gotten a ultrasound. And he's like, well, he poked around a bit. We're going to, you know, have a surgery.
We'll see. It'll be fine. And I think also it's important to note, because it's been a week, that this is the episode immediately following Miranda's mom dying.
Oh, yeah.
And I think she's really, like, hyped up because of that. So she basically...
That's a great point.
I think that's kind of what happens here is she... when he's not taking it super seriously, she kind of blows up at him and she's like, will you stop saying that? It is a big deal.
She goes, this isn't your crazy yellow toenail, Steve. This is cancer. Because he's kind of like,
the longer you wait to find out what's going on, the longer we even sit here having this conversation, the more likely it is that the cancer will spread and that you'll die, so which is where I think her mom is really.
Miranda also was like, listen, I've written down some people for you. That, like, I've used a fake name, you know.
Doc. Oh, yeah. I asked around at my firm. This seems pretty. There are guys who I know who've dealt with it.
And Steve is like, Miranda. And she makes him cry. And now
he cries. And she's
like. Because, like, someone's yelling at you that you have cancer and that you're going to die.
It's like the opposite. So we got to them all eating together for the first time, the four of them, this meal. And she's kind of crying, rehashing the whole thing about. Because she, of course, feels fucking terrible.
She's like, I made him cry.
I yelled at the cancer patient.
And Carrie's like, you know what might help? A nice, relaxing weekend.
In the country
with me and Aiden.
And she's like, I'm being kidnapped. And they all say they can't. And Miranda's thing is, she's like, Steve has cancer, so I'm going to stay in town and take care of him. Like, he needs somebody. Especially because she now has to compensate for how guilty she feels.
Right. And she asks Charlotte, and Charlotte's going to the Orchid Show in Connecticut, and Samantha's like, fuck no.
Absolutely not. She tries to tell her it's like being in Paris and just going out to the country, you know. Or,
and Samantha's like, going on about how
her problem right now is that every time she finds a new guy on the weekend, he asks her what she's doing next weekend, which annoys her so much that she gets up and leaves, because her whole point is that they don't understand that the next weekend is for finding a new guy to fuck. Has she never heard of casual sex? I guess maybe the guys all just fall for her. And because, you know, once you found sex you like having, why would you still have to go out and look the next weekend?
I don't know.
Thank you.
I'm not big on it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I were better about it.
I mean, I'm not particularly either.
Yeah. It's we're not thing. Super cash.
No. Although I'd say that the situation I'm in right now is the best casual.
You're casual.
Like, no stakes either way. And when it works, I'm like happy about it.
That's great.
But I think that's very rare. I'm like, I probably don't think I'll be in this easy of a situation in a casual, that we're both exactly on the same page, you know? It's yeah. Like wild.
Wow.
But I'm like, Samantha, let's talk.
Well, yeah, I'm just like, I'm so happy for
Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, what's really helpful is that I don't want to be dating right now. Like, I have a really, yeah. Or to be like in a relationship.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to, like, I'm not worried that I am going to
fall into that. I honestly, like, don't have space for it.
I get that, too. Also, I'm like busy so as busy. Fuck.
I'm, Ari actually was, we were, because I'm staying in Brooklyn, and we were talking about, like,
when you can
concerts hang. And, like, when we could hang. And I was like, oh, well, I'm actually coming back to the city to babysitting. I'm teaching 3 yoga classes on Thursday.
Yeah.
I'm working on Saturday. I'm just like, oh.
You have a million things.
I'm doing so many different things.
Truly.
That I was like, I don't even have time to hang out with a friend.
It takes time and effort and money.
Money. I also have no money.
Me either.
Anyway, cool.
Cool. It's about us again.
So Miranda makes some crack at Carrie about how she has to pretend to be someone else to be in a relationship.
Because
Carrie is like, no.
It's about compromise.
And I'm all like, and Charlotte's like, listen, Trey loves golf. I'm taking golf lessons. Mm-hmm. Bunny loves orchids. I'm going to the orchid show. And it's like,
she's trying to love Bunny because Trey loves Bunny. And so she's like really trying to make this work in all the ways. And Carrie is really trying to convince someone to
come with her.
The place they're going to is called Suffern, New York. Very funny because she is about to suffer.
They roll up to Suffern, New York, and it looks like a scene from the Blair Witch Project.
It does.
Very happy that Pete booked the trip.
I know.
I feel so bad for that dog.
Hopefully he's treated really well and has his own trailer, you know.
Pete's and probably Carrie, dead.
Carrie looks cute. She's in stilettos for literally no reason. Mm-hmm. Just anticipate, you know, like, I know you want to wear stilettos, but you're going to be miserable when you have leaves like stuck Carrie. To them.
Carrie, you know what you're doing. Yeah. Come on, Carrie.
You're making it harder for yourself. Like, of course it's
She's
not
She's setting
be
herself up to be miserable.
Exactly.
And it's sort of cute.
It dates back to 1974. It's an old cabin. It is cute. I honestly would love this. Also, like, that counter is so nice. And like, there's some nice shit. The light's gorgeous. It looks beautiful outside. All this
I mean, like, it's amazing what Aiden can do.
Aiden is the handiest of handymen.
Super handy.
He put in a water cooler outside. He's wearing a very outside. Fun. No, pink, a water tower.
Pink shirt.
Yeah, his style is fascinating.
Bizarre.
So Carrie is so, so unexcited to be here. She goes over to the kitchen. She puts her stuff down. Of course, she's carrying a bag that has a stag printed on it because she's got to have one accessory matching the surroundings.
So there I was, trapped in a cabin that was outdated even by Civil War standards when I could be cocktailing and simple sailing. And
sample then she gets, sailing.
What did I say? Simple sail?
Mm-hmm, which I like. A simple sail.
And then she starts screaming because there's a fucking squirrel.
Bloody murder. Also, for a girl who lives in New York with amongst the rats. She like, wasn't you are
afraid
not
of the chickens on her right, roof.
But the fucking squirrel. And he goes, yeah, that's my squirrel. I've been sneaking little nuts out there and hoping he'd come make friends. And he did. We're just like, wow, what different people these two people are.
Hey, squirrel friends.
She says, hey, squirrel friends. Really good. And she's making fun of him. He, like, and he's has trained this
squirrel,
and,
which, like, if I were dating Aiden and he was like,
I would be like, okay, Snow White, let's go like,
fuck yeah.
Have sex in your cabin.
And then he, like, does this weird caveman thing and picks her up and they have sex, but it isn't.
But then, and something he does in the cabin is he goes to bed at like 8 every night. I think because he's outside working hard ostensibly, but he also does it this night when they first get there. So Carrie's just like, I have nothing to do. And now bug bites.
She's drinking vodka Kool-Aid, which is like, yes, girl.
Why not? She finds adapt to your surroundings.
So this is not the same computer that Aiden got her.
It's not, nor is it her old one. It's a different laptop.
I wonder if that's a continuity thing or she just decided to get the black one.
Right. It doesn't have the handle thing he gave her.
And it's not blue.
None of that's very funny because it's just not addressed at all. So Carrie's wondering how much compromise is too much before we basically stop being ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Which is like a great question.
I would say that going to the cabin that your boyfriend has lovingly redone for a weekend to support him is not losing yourself. That is literally the definition of just like supporting your partner.
Yeah. Lose yourself in the moment. The music. Go.
Yep.
You know, that classic Eminem song. So Samantha's having sex, blah, blah, blah. He's like, what are you doing next weekend? And she's like,
boop, doop, boop. And she leaves and she throws a pillow at his face.
Okay. So now
Miranda invites Steve over for tea and sympathy and they get Chinese food
and watch kung fu movies and he's like,
I thought you hated these movies.
And she's being really nice.
She's like, yeah, I do, but you don't.
And like offers him a spring roll and he gets up to leave and she's like, what? And he's like, you don't offer other people spring rolls. Yeah. I'm lucky if I even get to look at a spring roll and you hate these movies.
You're being so weird. Like this isn't, I wanted a friend, not.
And she's like, I felt really bad about our.
He's like, basically like, I don't want to be treated like a cancer patient, which is understandable.
And he's also like, no, I needed you to be a bitch to me so I would go to a good doctor and
he was like, you were right. It sucked. And thank you for apologizing, but I needed that push. Like I've gone to the doctor now and I have all these things. And then they have a really sweet moment where Miranda's like, eat the damn egg roll.
But he goes, give me that.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I fucked it all up.
Get out. This podcast is just mine now.
Bunny is like, I want a spin-off horror show about her because she has the potential to be the creepiest like matron her. So
she has a greenhouse with a bunch of orchids.
Her babies are grown, so the orchids are her babies now.
I hate it.
And she gives Charlotte a gift in anticipation of the great gift you're giving me.
And Charlotte's like, huh?
What gift is that? Even though she knows, basically, because she's like,
a grandchild, my dear.
You mustn't be cross with Trey for telling me.
She's wearing a hat that I would wear.
He knows how anxious I am to have a wee McDougal to carry on the family name.
The name McDougal is a good
hat. My mom has
so
that hat.
Terrible. Yeah?
Yeah.
So Carrie is like driven like 45 minutes into the city, into a city to get fast food.
I think she had to go into Jersey. And she's in Aiden's truck and in much more appropriate clothes for where they're staying.
I bet she's still wearing a weird heel.
I'm sure. And she had to get cell service and she asks
for this very famous moment where she's like, can I get a cheeseburger, a large fries, and a cosmopolitan?
And the voice back on the box is like, what? So she doesn't get it. I had to drive to freaking New Jersey to get cell service. And apparently the only way to get anything to eat in the country is to make it yourself.
Which like, I mean, she's in no mood for Bisquick. Let's remember Carrie, who's never used her kitchen, Bradshaw.
Ever. Charlotte's like, I'm not even pregnant yet, and Bunny is here picking out names for my child. She was like,
Bunny won't even let me put shrimp in my omelet. And I was like, why do you want to put shrimp in your omelet?
Yeah, that sounds disgusting. I love omelets, and I love shrimp.
But I do not want shrimp in my omelet. It's gross. Also, why? Shrimp isn't raw.
No.
I thought you couldn't eat raw fish.
No, shellfish are separate. I think there's some, you're not supposed to eat shellfish.
I don't want to be pregnant.
There are hard. You can only eat like super hard cheeses, no soft cheeses.
I'll be okay.
Yeah, I love a hard cheese.
Love a hard cheese.
The more crystals, the better, and that sharpness, you know. Oh, baby. Anyway, Carrie on the phone to Charlotte is like, I don't even know why I'm here. She's been there for 12 hours, and Charlotte's like, well, you're there because you love him.
So she's trying, and it's
so she goes outside to help him carry something, and she keeps falling. She's in cute overalls.
This must have been so fun to film. Yes. It's just a montage of Sarah Jessica Parker falling down.
Just falling in the mud, in the mud, in the mud.
Do you think that Kim Cattrall uses this clip to pump herself up?
I hope she does. She probably has a stash of
like a dark disc.
Yeah. So Carrie's gross. Also, at some point, she'd gone to take a shower earlier. She'd been desperate for a shower, and there wasn't one. And I'm like, you're being chill now. She cannot get up.
There's no shower?
There she goes. I don't remember exactly. There's something about a shower.
Oh, this looks like they're about to have fun sex.
Mm-hmm. And several showers to take. Okay, never mind. She's
so she goes back to the city to shower and have a meeting with her editor, and it gets dinner with Big.
I was like, you have no self-awareness.
So they're friends, apparently.
But also, it's ostensibly not, I mean, I don't know how long they've been back together, but you know it's serious enough that Aiden wanted you to not have any contact with him anymore, and you're lying to him, leaving his country house and going to have dinner with Big.
And Carrie's like venting to Big about
the country. She's Aiden, being she's rude like, about Aiden.
Oh, is it okay to talk to you about this? Because she's like, oh, but I just love him so much. And
which is also weird manipulation games from the start.
It's interesting because I actually understand this.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I had a moment where I like, well, it goes both ways.
Right.
Because one away is to do it. One away is to talk to your ex about a new relationship in a way that completely invalidates the relationship that you had with them.
Motherfucker.
And fun fact, that will subsequently affect future relationships mm-hmm. that you may or may not have. Things I have uh-huh. learned. Strange. Another way to do it is to just talk to them like a person uh-huh. and not compare situations.
Uh-huh.
But like, I don't know. What am I? A love expert?
Who am I?
Anyway.
So they have this weird conversation and then Carrie's like, can I talk to you about this? And Big's like, well, yeah, I'm going to tell you about my girlfriend. She's an actress. She's very famous and very obsessed with me. Did you see that Spy Girl movie?
And Carrie's like,
I do know she wears many wrong things on the red carpet.
And she's a movie star. She's like very, very famous that like they're whispering about it. And Big sort of starts talking about how the sex is and whatever. And Carrie's like, oh, no, you know what?
Oh, I found my line. That's enough. That's it.
Thank you. And then he's sort of like, you know, I looked at her, Carrie, and I'm in love. And you can see that Carrie's eyes kind of glaze over.
Yeah, she can't do it.
Which like I totally understand.
She also looks amazing. She's totally changed. She's wearing like smoky, smoky, smoky eye.
Like, do you think that it's different for Carrie when she is like, because Carrie goes into this presumably having the position of power because she's in the loving relationship.
Right.
And she's like sort of had this like
in terms of the axe game, she's won that part.
And
yeah.
like Big has been like making an ass out of himself mm-hmm. in front of her in regards to like with, you know, Craig Bierko, the music man.
Of course.
And
now he also,
and now it's sort of like
power has shifted. I think it gives her the confidence to be like, oh, I can be friends with him, whether she sees it or not, because she has that power.
Or it sets off a mind, like a small grenade.
I think maybe both.
I think maybe both.
And that's what levels the ground. And then she kind of comes crashing down.
And she's walking off dinner.
As I walked off my big dinner.
And she looks
clever, clever.
Okay. This green skirt, I see it in here. And this shot, and I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And then she turns around. Did you notice this?
No, I didn't. Oh, yes, and it has a weird ruffle thing at the back of it. It's super, super
and
strange.
She walks past a
poster for the spy movie. Willow Summers is the actress.
And then there's a rat that walks in front of it. But that's, she doesn't nearly scream as loud at the rat as she did at the squirrel.
Yeah, the back of the skirt is so ugly.
So weird. I initially, when I watched this, thought that maybe this scene was to imply that he had made it up and that the poster was just outside the restaurant.
Oh, interesting.
But I don't think that that's what's happening.
I don't think so either. I don't think he'd be quite so blunt. I mean, he gets in, when he's telling her the story of like, and getting into sex and stuff, he would be sociopathic to be making that up.
So Carrie's like, I needed to do something. So she brings Samantha out with her to the country.
And Samantha, of course, is like, motherfucker, this is nothing like you described. And Carrie is determined to make a pie.
The book with the, they're making succotash and the book is called Suffering Succotash. That's an amazing touch.
Oh, honey, don't kid yourself. It's a dump. Samantha's even more down on it than she is.
Oh, Kitty, don't hun yourself.
There it is. I love that. And Carrie's is being cute and supportive. She's like, he put the water heater in himself. Like, this stuff is impressive. And Aiden comes in. He's like, is it hot in here? Is it just me? Samantha's sitting there fanning herself with one of those little, like, accessory fans. Couldn't be any hotter in here. So she leans out the window and she sees a farmer she wants to fuck. And now he's
He's wearing overalls, no shirt, and just one
clip. Undone. As if any real farmer would be going around with his overalls hanging open.
That's so ridiculous. And so
he is hot, though.
Samantha, like, undoes her shirt and, like, ties it. Daisy Duke.
Yeah, exactly. And goes out to fuck a farmer.
Good on her. He is hot. Yoinka, yoinka, yoinka.
Yoinka, yoinka, baby. It's been a minute from that, too.
It's because they've all been uggos.
True. Get the uggos out of here.
Honey, if we're going to bake us a pie, we're going to need us some milk.
So ostensibly, Samantha goes out to get a cup of milk.
Oh, look at the little goats.
Also in heels. Oh, she puts a weird hat. Bucket
hat, top hat?
Top hat, but like blue suede.
Bucket top hat.
Yeah.
She's like, milk?
It is a pineapple
top hat.
Wow, it is.
No.
Tropical birds. No, there is a pineapple, but there's something else, too.
Like, drinks on it.
Mm-hmm. It's really remarkable.
I want that hat.
Yeah, we need matching ones.
And he's like, oh, yeah, help yourself.
So then he teaches her, we can probably fasty forward. He teaches her how to fucking milk a cow, which is, of course, weirdly sexual.
And she makes it look like, it sort of looks like you're giving hand job. Right. And it's basically like the milk squirts on her face like cum.
Yeah, that's it. It's pretty much the simplest jokes you could think of in a barn with two people about to fuck and a cow. And then they do fuck. Because
Samantha goes, something tells me I'll be very good at it because it looks like a flaccid penis.
But she's not.
Nope. Which makes me, I don't know. Milking what if my a cow whole, is hard. My whole theory that's maybe Samantha's bad at sex. And that's why she can't sleep with the same man more than once.
Fascinating.
I love to debunk things.
Oh, fascinating.
And so Charlotte's like, Trey, come on. We got to fuck my eggs.
It's time. And she goes into the bathroom. She takes her shirt off and she goes into the bathroom. And the weirdest, like, shivers, some Bates Motel shit.
Yes.
Bunny is sitting next to the tub where a naked Trey is soaping himself down. She's smoking a cigarette and they're just, like, talking.
And Charlotte disappears. Like, goes and, like, is, like, angrily gardening. And Trey's like, what's wrong, babe? And she's like, what's wrong? Are you fucking kidding me?
That was gross. And I won't do that with our kids, you know? Like, you're a grown-ass man. So he tells her this story about how, like, his mom didn't raise him. He had a bunch of nannies. And how at night she would come in and sit by his bath. And that's when they would talk to each other. Which, like, okay. Still doesn't change the fact that it's super fucking weird. And that Charlotte has married into a crazy-ass McDougal family. But then they fuck in the orchid garden because her body temperature is right and she's ovulating, and then they ruin a bunch of plants, which I don't know how they do that, but apparently they do.
These precious orchids, they ruin them.
That's right.
They like love to have kinky sex.
Charlotte gets over it so fast too. She's like, my ovaries, I'm ovulating, and then they just immediately move on and fuck.
Whoa.
So Steve is in bed post.
Did he have a surgery?
I think surgery. Maybe he has one ball now too.
Wow, I didn't notice that.
And Miranda's there when he wakes up and is very sweet. And she's like, I talked to the doctor. He says, oh yeah.
He's very coherent.
Yeah.
For coming out of surgery.
Yeah. He looks like he's not, but he's like speaking fully like he is.
Yeah, he laughs.
And the nurse comes in and says visiting hours are over. And also, Miranda's like, no, TBH, I don't think so.
This is an outpatient procedure.
Like, yeah, like he should have gone.
He wouldn't have to stay. Like right. there wouldn't be a visiting hours
right
moment.
So she basically like plays along that she's his wife / girlfriend and stays.
And they smile at each other because they're happy.
Yeah, and he's so glad she's there. Mm-hmm. So young McDonald had Samantha moaning loudly.
The Samantha script. What, the way that she's holding her body though.
Yeah.
Also, that doesn't look like good sex.
No, it doesn't.
The way that she's moving on him.
I think filming fake sex is probably just for the way she's supposed to.
And then he even asks her, what are you doing next weekend?
And then she
runs away.
Runs
because she's
away.
A fucking child. And
here's the thing.
Pie
if she
crust.
Was having bad sex with all these men, would they really want to see her next weekend?
That's true.
Carrie made the pie crust. And she's like, no, you don't understand. The only thing that I've ever successfully made in the kitchen is a mess and
which
several little
cute.
Fires. It is. It's cute.
Great book. Little Fires Everywhere.
It is. I just read it.
Oh, really?
I've torn through books and I want to talk to your brother about a couple of them that I loved.
Yeah.
Little Fires Everywhere is great.
I haven't read it yet. I'm reading Lincoln and the Bardo. Mm. But we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that. So Carrie turns around,
oh,
sees
no.
the squirrel and breaks the pie crust and puts the hot pan on her legs and is burned.
And he's Aiden's like, are you okay? And she's like, no, I'm not okay. I'm burned. And
I burned my legs. And she kicks the oven.
It's like
oven.
A little thing. I hate that squirrel. I hate this oven. I hate this cabin. She hates it.
It really just opens the floodgates. But it's also like,
Carrie's a fucking child.
You haven't, they all are. You haven't even been here for a full 48 hours. You went back to the city. Like, dude.
Your hair went
breath.
From curly to straight.
I would be mad about the pain and the burning of my legs because that sucks. But she's like, it really hurts. And he says, come on, jump up here. And he puts her on the counter and they have like sweet moment while he takes care of her.
Ew, no, no.
Oh,
he takes ice right from the tea.
Guess at that point, it's more important to, it's weirder that he put his hand in the tea, but
both are weird.
Yeah.
Her legs are going to be so sticky now.
Yeah.
And it's very weirdly sexual. He's giving her a calf massage.
And like rubbing ice on it, which also just ice directly on a burn never feels great.
I think are like super weird.
It well, the muscle is so weird when you actually start like playing with it.
I know.
It can feel good though.
There was a night on Birthright where like there were just like a weird group of people, like three couples, like a guy sitting or like one sitting behind the other, like from behind giving calf massages.
Weird.
It was like the day that everyone sort of coupled up, and I remember just sitting on the other side of the room being like,
what is happening?
Happening.
Why are you all touching each other's calves?
It's like all very sensual. And
strange.
We were just like,
very strange.
It's very weird.
It's weird they were all doing it. Aiden's basically like, look, the house will get better. And she says, I can just come up on the weekends, which wasn't that the plan anyway? And he says, how about every other weekend? So he's conceding to her after she's been a huge whiny baby.
And I bet they have sex.
They make out. Her
legs. Every other weekend. When she was just like, I hate this. And he's like, every other weekend? And she's like,
yeah.
Like one weekend a month, I think would have been fair.
Right? Well, also what? Is he going to spend all his time up there all summer? Because that I'd understand.
And they're just going to have sex right there?
On the table. On the counter.
Fun.
One slow train ride and two fast food apple pies later. So Carrie and Samantha are back in the city and having McDonald's apple pies. Why would anybody go to the trouble of making one at home when you can buy one that's so perfectly sized? And Samantha still has hay on her hair, which is funny. Souvenir.
Samantha's like, I'm never leaving the city ever again.
And then they get a taxi and they're very delighted by the amenities and easiness of everything. And then Samantha says, so you'll be back next weekend? And
she's like, nope, not next weekend.
And Samantha says, so when are you gonna going? When are you going back?
Carrie goes, you gonna finish that pie?
And in the end, of course, Aiden and I compromised. He spent money on air conditioning, and I spent enough time in Suffern to realize that city girls are just country girls with cuter outfits.
It's not true.
It's not true at all. There are some really fundamental differences. You are not a country girl.
Carrie.
Yeah.
I was like, excuse me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you have country girl in you.
Thank you.
So
that's the episode.
That's it. Interesting. I wonder if next episode will also be about cancer and if and when we will get an answer about why Samantha was so fucking weird about Miranda's mom's funeral.
Well, so I was talking to a friend of the pod, Anna, about this because she was like,
she's
her favorite
expert.
Episode. And she says,
I thought so. Didn't I say my mother bore myself?
It's one of her favorite.
Anna's
episodes.
Favorite.
She was saying that the moment where Miranda's walking in the aisle in the church and Samantha's crying and is sort of like, I'm sorry, is that moment. But I'm thinking of another moment. Like, I have a, like, scene, like, emblazed in my head. So we'll see.
Like a call or whatever that they, that Samantha.
Sort of, something.
Mm. Ploppability?
P, good. Well, it's just very not of our, it's very 30s.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Like, I feel like the Steve plot is super ploppable, obviously.
Clearly, yep.
The Samantha's a throwawayable.
Throwawayable.
Charlotte
always.
Is like a woman of someone trying to have a baby problem.
Yeah, still, and definitely still true. Like women doing, you know, fertility
just, like,
stuff.
This aspect of Carrie is just like, we're much more amenable and much
yeah,
more
we're
like
very
willing
flexible.
To
we're very
suffer through something for the suffering. Sake of someone we love.
Yeah, or but also you and I inherently wouldn't hate this experience.
No, no, no. I enjoy a hike and a camp.
Yeah, I would, even while he'd be, I'd sit in the sun and read a book and drink coffee, you know, like I'd be fine for
yeah, I would have been like, oh, I don't have to deal with my phone.
Yeah, okay, please.
Please.
That's the other thing too. I'm sure she wouldn't have to drive 45 minutes to get a cell signal anymore, but.
I also, there would probably be maybe Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. I also just like, I love like cooking and stuff.
Yeah. She wouldn't have to go back to the city to meet her editor. She could just FaceTime him, you know.
Maybe. She didn't meet her editor. She met her big.
Good point.
Her big. So, yeah. I mean, like, ploppable is not for us.
Yeah, totally. But all works in 2018.
Nothing super offensive this episode.
No.
Who did you resonate with?
I resonated with Miranda. I get the feeling of, like, getting angry with other people because you feel like they aren't doing what's best for them. Mm-hmm. It's actually something I think I have a lot of. I jump to judgment really fast because, as most people I think are, I just like, I have certain ways I would do things or think about things, you know, and then you see people not doing it that way. Maybe this is just me, but my first thought is like, you should do it this way.
Yeah, no, I'm,
you know, and then sometimes when it's genuinely about well-being for your friends, you know, and they can't see, like, I get that going over the top or just becoming emotional in mm-hmm. ways that aren't necessarily productive because you like care on that level, which I yeah. think Miranda does.
Also, she's just gone through, like, a huge...
Also, like, your brother isn't the only close proximity...
A lot of people have had this.
Yeah, yeah, but also just, like, difficult illness happening right now in our lives. And it's, like, just the way that people react and deal with it and support each other
is... So different.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was, like, really, I think, jarring for people not in my family to, like, see how, like... humor and like self-deprecation mm-hmm. and like things like that sort of play a role in like how we deal with things, but that's just,
I think it's such an essential part if you can, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Alex will talk more about this, you know, it was his experience, but we had a moment where we were like, where Celie wasn't able to be here, and like it was like the day or two after.
Oh, this is so funny.
And I was like, we were sort of like, is this the, am I gonna have to, I don't want to see your testicle.
But today might be the day.
I was like, I'm prepared if I need to. You know, I will do it for the cause. But God, I hope I don't have to. And I didn't. So that was good.
Do it for the vine, baby.
Sure.
Didn't have to.
Vine. R.I.P.
Who did you resonate with?
Miranda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so, I imagine.
Yeah. Yes.
It's funny. This episode was about, like, compromise, but because of how ridiculous Carrie and Aiden are and how throw away some of the, that's the thing about it that I guess feels less ploppable to me mm-hmm. is like all of these plot lines could happen now, but I feel like to fly on TV they'd have to be much more interesting and nuanced. There's something like beautiful about this in the way it happens, you mm-hmm. know, and because it's what the show was.
Yeah,
but like that's what sometimes doesn't feel ploppable, and that's the thing, like Carrie and Aiden's anyway, whatever.
I was gonna ask you something. Delta's upsies, Delta's
downsies.
Oh,
of course. My Delta up is that it is full summer.
It is still light outside, and it is,
I'm really loving it.
And it's 8 p.m.
It is that. It is. I had a really nice weekend, especially Saturday with you guys. Was like the best ever.
It was honestly like
a perfect 12 hours.
I can't wait to talk about it in my Delta.
oh, yeah. There's a lot of, like, good momentum happening in my life.
Yeah, Bridget's about to blow up.
I'm about to be famous. That's not
She's
it at
about
all.
About to blow up.
Just wait till you see my YouTube video job.
She is Ariana Grande. Shh, don't tell anyone.
That's right. I just wanted to go back to normalcy for a few months, you know, and my Delta down is, well, you know what? This is going to be a Delta up also. This weekend was a milestone in some ways, the weekend we're coming up to, that I have been looking forward to for a very long time. And I hit June 1st and was like, it's super crazy that this has guided me for a long time. And it's super crazy that it does not matter anymore. So I'm having a weird kind of just like time collapsing in on itself moment. Not in a bad way, just like, this is not what I thought would be happening right now. And that's a good thing all the way around. It's terrifying, change is hard, and it's a good thing.
Yeah.
You?
I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you. I love you so much.
I love you so much. I had the other night, I had a dream about you being in LA.
Uh-huh.
Not any concept. Like, I don't remember more than that, except that you were there. And I woke up and I rolled over and my first instinct was to FaceTime you. Because in the dream, I've been like, it's been so long since I've seen her up. And I was like, okay, good to know. That's what's important to me.
Wow. That makes me emotional.
Yeah, me too.
Like,
because in my head, you were in LA. Mm-hmm. And I had a moment where I was like, it's too early to FaceTime her there. And then I was like, Bridget.
We did FaceTime after my birthday party.
We did. I loved that.
On Saturday morning.
It's a good.
My Delta up is, I'm going to just do like sort of two. The first is just like how overwhelmed I am by like, they sort of go together. Just like how overwhelmed I am by like the wonderful people in my life.
Yes. It's nothing like, I feel that all the time.
Nothing like a birthday to like bring out, the nice things that people say mm-hmm. about to that. And there was like a really strong through line in like the things that like my closest friends said to me
mm-hmm.
that made it just like so exceptional, and I feel just really grateful for that.
Yeah. You deserve it.
Our friend who has been in Chicago surprised me at my party, and it was
so
sweet. Lovely. It's just like I'm very grateful for my friends, and also like
I've had that feeling a lot recently.
And also just like I think like I've had a couple instances where I've been like reminded or pleasantly surprised by the people I've chosen to have in my life in a way that I'm like,
yes,
I'm moving towards good things.
Mm-hmm. Can I say really fast? I was talking to my therapist the other day, telling a story that literally involved Brooke and friend of the pod, Sam, and my roommate, Ari, who we love very dearly, but like three of the most important people to me in the city. But I was just telling this story just to like tell her the story. And at the end of it, she was like, A, can't believe you didn't do that thing. And B, keep your friends. Even she knows how amazing you guys are.
My Delta down is just like my anxiety. The past like couple like month, I would say,
yeah,
has just been like inexplicably bad. And I've talked mm-hmm. a little about this if you follow me on Instagram, which like whatever, but it's been just like, it's new because I've never had it paired without depression, so it's mm-hmm. just been like very, very physical mm-hmm. manifestation of anxiety.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's very different.
It's very different for me especially. And Friday, and I'm talking to my I might be going back on an antidepressant just to like mm-hmm. settle it. I'm going to talk to her tomorrow, cuz once I get past it, I'm like, I don't need to.
Right.
But we're going to talk about it tomorrow. But Friday I honored my first day, real true day off in,
yes, good.
Like, at my birthday, but it was like very
like busy.
Like slept, and I,
yes, it's been a long time since you've had a day like that.
And I didn't move from this apartment until I had to go to dinner. Like, I just like watched a movie.
Perfect.
Was by myself. It was really good. And the next day, it was the first day that I've like,
woke up and said you felt like yourself.
And I went and I saw our friend Anna, and we just like sat by the water. And then I went to the park with Ari, and then Bridget met us and we played board games. And I was just like, it was a really, really wonderful day. I cried about trees.
It was so gorgeous.
Betrayal at the House on the Hill.
Oh, it's a great board game. I knew you would like it, and I'm so glad you finally got to play. We're going to, so there are like 50 scenarios.
Yeah, I want to play different ways.
Yeah, and I think some of them are more fun than others, but
I wish that we had picked like a more conventional one just for my first time.
But we didn't pick it.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, like the one we pulled was, yeah. No, same. We also got so far into it before the hunt began. You guys have to play this game. It's
the
fun.
Hunt begins. Miss Bridget.
Yeah.
How might I find you on social media?
Well, you can find me on Twitter. Truly just being a monster all the time. At Mrs. Burt Macklin. That's Burt Macklin, FBI's wife. Thank you very much. And you can find me on Instagram at BridgetM37. Brooke.
You can find me on Twitter at Brooke_Wiseman. Mm-hmm. And you can find me on Instagram at Brooke Wiseman. No underscore. And if you put an underscore, I will kill you and then clean it up. And apparently I know how. So be careful.
We'll use one of the easier methods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And collectively, we are at Splat Podcast, wherever podcasts are. Nope.
Yeah, sure. Wherever you are, you know,
looking at podcasts. Looking at on Twitter, on Instagram. Yeah, the classic Facebook, places. It's just Splat the Podcast if you still use Facebook.
Can you please do me a favor? As a retroactive birthday present for Brooke, please rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah.
Please do whatever you got to do. Please reach out to us. Please.
Oh, also just like a really quick.
Join our book club.
I would say joint. Delta Up would be the we went to the like housewarming for the new Acast office.
Oh, it was amazing. They have like the coolest space way downtown.
Yeah. We're gonna record there sometime. It's just gonna for be fun. Real fun. It's gonna be really fun.
And Tribeca. They have a roof and it was great. We loved it.
We love Dalton.
Oh, Brooke, how's Lincoln and the Bardo?
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like is the it way intense it's to written? Read.
Yeah, I kind of think I might want to listen to it, but I don't know if I wouldn't be I'm able like, to process it.
It's weird because it's like just like excerpts from other so far, like I don't know if that changes, but I'm sort of like it's like weird because it's like not really a narrative. No, it's not. I would read it. Okay. I think
I've heard it's kind of like poetry in ways. Yes. Yeah, cool. I am reading a book called Circe right now, but I have torn through 4 audiobooks in the last Little Fires Everywhere. Highly recommend. A book called A Tale for the Time Being, which was incredible. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend. Station 11.
Mm-hmm, I have that.
I think it's being optioned into a movie soon, which makes sense. But also very good and like a nice, easy summer read. Yeah. Like it's great. It's not an easy. It's not bubblegum, but it's
I need
easy.
Something light.
Yeah, do that. It's definitely like, I mean, it's post-apocalyptic, but it's like it's a fun read.
Cool. Yeah, please rate, review, subscribe, send us some stars, send us some kind words, follow us on things.
We love you guys.
We really love you guys.
Thank you for listening to us and putting up with all of our things.
Yeah, we love you.
We love you. Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.